Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis has established itself as a prime location for entrepreneurs and startups. We'll be talking about attempts to enhance that reputation today. A little later, we'll look at a program to promote diversity and innovation. But first, studies show that the region places first in what's called an entrepreneurial gender gap, which means it's last in the number of women-led entrepreneurial businesses. Prosper Women Entrepreneurs of St. Louis is trying to change that with a program to provide funds to jumpstart qualifying projects led by women. With me in studio is Mary Jo Gorman of ICU Care, founder of Prosper Women Entrepreneurs. Anu Nathan is the CEO of Smart Monitor and is a participant in the spring 2015 class of Prosper Startup Accelerator. She joined us by phone from California. Cindy Teasdale McGowan of Make-A-Boo Personalized Gifts, is a Prosper Lead Mentor. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with us. And Mary Jo, let me start with you. St. Louis has this gender gap that we've been hearing about, an entrepreneurial gender gap. What's the significance of that?
Well, we believe that if we had more women participating by building businesses, then obviously you build a business, we can have more employed people in the marketplace as well as using other services in the marketplace, marketing, engineering, and those sorts of things.
So why haven't there been more women involved in this? Because St. Louis is flourishing in this area generally.
It is flourishing generally. This is a St. Louis as well as a national problem that women are starting a lot of companies, but they're not really growing them at the rate that men are. There's been a lot of research on why that is or isn't. Less than 1% of the venture capital money gets invested in women-led companies, and getting venture capital investment is a sign of how large your company is and if people believe that the company has a great opportunity.
So is there a glass ceiling? Is that what you're saying in this area?
No, it turns out that women make some different choices when they build their businesses, which some of the studies feel leads them into not starting things as big as men start. They also don't sometimes pursue financing in the same way. So there are some different gender choices that are made. And we believe it's really an underrepresented asset class at Prosper Capital, and that's why we're looking for these great women leaders and their companies to invest in.
How far will $50,000 take a startup?
Depends on how early the startup is. The key part of the program besides the money is also that they're being placed with lead mentors like Cindy and others and introduced into the ecosystem here in St. Louis and trying to advance their business through our networks. And so that's an important part of the program as well as having the money. So depending on where the company is and how much access they use the access here, it can go a really long way.
I would hope so. It does seem like a lot of money. Cindy, let me turn to you and ask you about your experience with Make-A-Boo. How long have you been in business? And tell us about your getting started with
sure.
it.
Sure. So I founded the company in 2010. And just as Mary Jo said, it took me a little while to decide to raise capital. But I did. I raised a round of seed funding in 2012. I raised $500,000 from 7 strategic investors. At the time, Prosper didn't exist. Actually, most of the accelerators in town didn't exist. So I sort of went about it on my own. And when I learned about Prosper, I immediately knew, wow, this is something that I really could have benefited from if I were at the right stage at the right time. So,
and as a woman, obviously you didn't have trouble raising, you raised $500,000. But what, do you think it might have been more difficult for you than for a man in the same position?
Honestly, I always said that it was an advantage because there were so few of us. It was, you know, really different. I would pitch to groups of, you know, there might be a group of 40 investors in town meeting all at once, and there was not a single woman in the room beside me. So for me, it was an advantage. You know, I was sort of like the new and different thing.
Mary Jo, comment on that part of it.
Yeah, so with Advanced ICU Care, I also raise venture capital money, and I get that question sometimes, is it harder or easier? I'm not really sure it is. Investors are looking for opportunity. So they want to invest in a company that's got real potential and has good leadership. So I think if they can see that, then they're willing to invest.
Right. Anu, we haven't really had a chance to talk before you're coming on the air, but tell us your story. I gather that you're really just in the getting started phase of this, or am I making a wrong assumption?
Actually, we are further along. First of all, I'm happy to be on this call and on this show with Mary Jo and Cindy. I've had the pleasure of working with them since January of this year, and it's been an awesome experience. So Smart Monitor is a digital health company. We are about 3.5 years old. And being in healthcare, we have a product that helps people with seizures and epilepsy live a life of safety and increases their safety and helps them better manage their condition. So we have been funded until now by grant funding from research organizations, some debt financing. I also raised some angel capital here in California. So I have found different ways to grow the business. And so we are a little further along, but Prosper was the very first accelerator that we participated in. And what struck me about Prosper is the fact that they focus on women entrepreneurs. And I, to the best of my knowledge, I am not aware of another accelerator that provides funding and the mentorship and the business expertise that Prosper was willing to provide for women entrepreneurs. So it's the first of its kind for me in that sense.
So you came to St. Louis to take advantage of what Prosper had to offer, and yet you're in California. I think a lot of people would assume that California is probably most hospitable to people like yourself.
It absolutely is in terms of startup companies and growth. So, again, my choice of Prosper and coming to St. Louis, twofold. First of all, absolutely loved the focus that Prosper had on women entrepreneurs. And as part of the group of Prosper's first class, we just learned a lot from each other. So that's been an invaluable experience. Now, the second reason clearly is a lot of the healthcare activity is in the Midwest and in the East Coast. The large payers, the large hospital systems, and the pharma companies are headquartered there. A lot of the activity is in the Midwest and in the East Coast. So for me, being in St. Louis was very crucial, was very strategic in that it would give me a foothold from which I could further my business development activities and establishing some strategic partnerships, all of which was really, I was able to do very well during the Prosper program.
Someone has hinted to me, and that may or may not be correct, that you might even consider moving here as a result of your experience.
I'm looking at a couple of different options, and this is something, and if everything falls in place, that may very well happen down the road.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing what you decide to do. Mary Jo, let me come back to you and get some sense of what actually goes on during these accelerator courses.
So we spend time first when we select the companies, matching them with lead mentors here in St. Louis that we believe can advance them based on their specialty. So, for instance, Anu, who's in healthcare, was matched up with people with technology and healthcare experience. Then during the course of the program, there's intensive meetings between all of the lead mentors and the partners and the CEOs that helps identify what are the challenges they have that particular week and what are we all going to do to try to solve that challenge. And then there's also a curricular part of the program where we're focusing on trying to bring them information that they may not have had other places. Some of it focused specifically on how women view businesses and ways that they could view their business slightly differently in order to promote it further.
Do women view businesses differently than men?
They do. So some of the research shows that women sometimes don't think of building a really big business when they are working on their business, because women are such natural multitaskers. They think they can multitask their way to growing a big business. And yet building the right team around you is critical to being able to build a really successful business. And then it does appear that women do not look at financing in the same way as an opportunity as men do. So those are a few things the research has shown, and we're trying to just bring that awareness to people and try to help move their thinking when they're in the program.
Cindy, does this all connect with you?
Yes, absolutely.
As a mentor, give me some sense of what your approach is. We've just heard Mary Jo talk about what mentors do, but your own personal approach in dealing with this.
We did focus a lot. I think all six companies were in the process of raising capital, and most entrepreneurs kind of know and joke that that in itself is a full-time job. Raising money is is something you're sort of always doing once you're up and running. And so I did spend a lot of time with my company and with all six companies sort of talking about what tools I used and what approach I used to find access to capital.
You talk about six companies. We're talking about six companies involved in the startup accelerator prospect.
Exactly.
Really. And Anu, I'll come back to you for a little more details on what you came away with from St. Louis that maybe you didn't expect to find here or return home with.
Great. Do you want me to answer that?
Yes,
now?
Please.
Okay, wonderful. So a couple of things that came out as part of the program. I was looking at the at Prosper primarily from the curricular point of view, what was covered during the program. What was an absolutely pleasant and beautiful surprise is the value of the mentorship. I know Cindy, I've met her, but she was not one of my mentors, unfortunately, but I did have a couple of extremely good mentors who have provided incredible value. And the mentorship value, I think I would summarize that in a couple of bullet points. First of all, it is the strategic brainstorming and guiding and helping understand, okay, these are all the parameters, what are the possible next steps, and absolutely providing value because these mentors come with years of experience. They are successful business people in their own right, as you can see, Mary Jo and Cindy are, and so that expertise has been incredibly valuable. Now, the second part of it has been the introductions and the connections that they have provided not only to prospective investors, but also to business partners. And these partnerships, these strategic relationships are so key in growing the company, in growing our revenue, and scaling and becoming a successful business. So these two were really the most, something I did not expect to receive and accomplish at this level.
In returning home, I know you've only been back to California for a short time now. Have you been able to implement anything that you've learned or taken away from St. Louis already, having just returned?
Certainly, yes. In terms of strategically growing the business, again, the mentorship is what I had alluded to. Though the program is over, I'm still in touch with my mentors, and we talk on a weekly, monthly basis, depending on the situation, and I still receive some very, very valuable advice from them. So, yes, in terms of strategic growth, we have started implementing some of the many things that came out of this relationship in St. Louis. And as we move forward, I only expect to continue to enhance and further that.
Mary Jo, I have to take a break, but very quickly she brought up something I wanted to ask you about, and that is follow-up. Once these folks go home or go wherever they came from, you stay with them.
Yes, yes. So it's really up to the CEO and to their mentors to keep that relationship going, but we're all interested in making sure they continue to succeed because we have made an investment in the company and we want to see that come to fruition.
All right, we have to take a break now. You just heard from Mary Jo Gorman, who is the founder of Prosper Women Entrepreneurs, and that's what we're talking about today, female entrepreneurs and that whole process of getting started, raising money, and all the things you have to do to get into business. Anu Nathan is joining us by phone from California. She has been involved in the Startup Accelerator class here put on by Prosper here in St. Louis. And Cindy Teasdale McGowan, also with us. She's the founder of Makeaboo Personalized Gifts, and she's one of Prosper's lead mentors. We'll come back and continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on women entrepreneurs in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. St. Louis-based Monsanto would consider moving its headquarters overseas if the proposed acquisition of an agricultural chemical company is approved. It's one of the details and documents released by Switzerland-based Syngenta, which has twice rejected $45 billion offers from Monsanto. Under the proposal, the headquarters for the combined company would be in the United Kingdom. Both chambers of the Illinois General Assembly returned to Springfield today to continue wrestling over a state budget deficit. The Senate would hear testimony on the impact of a state-imposed freeze on local property taxes, which is one of the issues Republican Governor Bruce Rauner is pushing. And St. Louis County man is set to be executed later today for killing his girlfriend and her young daughter during a violent argument. Defense attorney Jennifer Herndon and Richard Strong just said that Richard Strong just snapped during a heated exchange between two people with mental health issues. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Mary Jo Norman, our new Nathan, and Cindy Teasdale McGowan. Mary Jo, let's talk a little bit about the next round here. You're accepting applications, I understand, from folks who want to get involved. Tell us about that part of it.
So we have applications open until the 19th of this month, and we're looking for women-led companies that have big-scale ideas that we can invest in and then help them accelerate their businesses. For our first class, which we had in the spring, we had over 200 applications of amazing quality from all over the world. So we're hoping to have all that same interest this time around.
Where does the money come from?
The money comes from a group of investors here in St. Louis, and they're investing in this, again, asset class, which means a group of people that you invest in. We believe that because there's been so little attention paid to this group, that we have an opportunity to make a really good return on this investment.
What's the selection process like? You've got 200 applicants for six slots, I take it.
It's very great dedication from our partners and our selection committee to narrow it down initially to 10, and then those 10 will present to us using video conferencing, and then we narrow it down to our final six. So it's a lot of work, but people are very diligent, spend a lot of time really carefully going through all the applications.
Cindy, let me come back to you and just get a little more of a sense about your getting started and maintaining your business. Tell us something about that with regard to the difficulties that you have faced, the challenges you face, particularly as a female.
Well, I think the challenges actually are universal for all entrepreneurs. But, you know, as a company grows, if you are dedicated to building something that is truly scalable, and that's what my intention was, it gets more and more difficult as you get bigger to handle the operations, as well as keep that forward-looking, eye on marketing and sales and continue raising money, which is most startups have to continue raising money as they grow.
What exactly is Makeaboo?
So Makeaboo is an online retailer that sells personalized children's gifts that you can design yourself on the site. And we've been in business since 2010. And it is it's been a really exciting time.
Did you go through the process with Prosper?
I didn't. So I raised money myself in 2012, and I've just been volunteering as a mentor.
And Anu, let me come back to you with regard to your getting involved with. How did you hear about it? I mean, you're in California. We're in St. Louis.
You know, that is a good question. I think someone I know forwarded this email to me saying, hey, this is an accelerator focusing on women-led businesses. They're out of St. Louis. Are you interested in applying? And I took a look at that and thought, and I was intrigued because, as I mentioned, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know of another accelerator focusing, you know, providing some seed funding and focusing on women-led companies. So, that honestly is how I heard about Prosper. So it looks like the, getting the word out is working pretty well because one of my acquaintances forwarded that email to me.
Mary Jo, thank God for email.
Huh? Yes. And social media and Twitter.
What is your reach? You know, all 50 states? I mean, do you have people coming from all over the country?
So with our first class, we had two companies from California, one from New York, and three local companies. And so we will take anybody from anywhere. Our criteria is they have to be in St. Louis for the programming itself. They don't have to move their company to St. Louis, but they have to either come in and out or be here during the portion of the programming.
We're going to be doing a segment, as you well know, following this one, dealing with diversity in the innovation fields, IT and what have you. What are you seeing with regard? We'll talk about it a little bit more later, but what are you seeing in your process of weeding through applicants?
So I think there are a lot of applicants who are highly qualified, and it's a matter of giving a focus to their energy so they can become more mainstream with the rest of the activity that's happening in St. Louis and really around the country. And so we think there's a lot of talent. We're just going to try to keep encouraging it.
What is it about St. Louis that has given it this reputation for being a great place to start a business?
One of the things that makes a community a welcoming place for entrepreneurs, you have to have a place where people can come up with ideas, which are often out of universities, which we have excellent universities here. You need capital to be able to invest in the companies, and then you need to be able to attract talent to wherever you are, whether it's the CEO talent or the chief financial officer talent. And so we have started to see a major improvement in St. Louis over the last 10 years around all of those areas, and that's really starting to put us on the map.
Cindy, you've been shaking your head affirmatively there. Yeah. You obviously agree with all of that.
I agree with all of that, and I would add two things. I actually lived in San Francisco for a few years before starting my business here, and it would have cost so much more money for me to do the exact same thing in the Bay Area. So I think that's one huge differentiator. The costs are just lower. We've got the same talent. We've got fantastic designers and developers. You know, in my case, we were an e-commerce site, and that's what mattered. So I would say that's a big differentiator. Cost of living is so much cheaper. And then the other is that people will take meetings here. You know, this is the Midwest. People are friendly. And if you find the right person to introduce you to someone, that person will take a meeting no matter how high up they are. And I think that's really different. I know the company that I mentored was in the Bay Area along with Anu, and they were sort of floored that anybody would take a meeting. It's just that's our mentality here in the Midwest.
Is that why you came back? All of the above, all of the things you just mentioned are why you came back to St. Louis?
I came back for personal reasons. I married someone who was here. My family's here. But it helped, and I don't know if I ever would have been able to do what I did with Makeaboo if I were in San Francisco.
How does one go about raising $500,000? You know, and I don't mean to be flip about
this, but
I mean, politicians say how tough it is to go out and solicit money, and that's basically what you're doing. I mean,
it's exactly what you're doing. You have to, and especially as an entrepreneur, I'm sort of in product management and software. I'd never sold anything before, and all of a sudden I was selling. It takes a different mentality, and it really is just like selling anything else. You've got a certain close rate, and you have to take a certain number of meetings. And my close rate was about 10%, and you know, I edged along. It took about 8 months, but I got there. And I bet Mary Jo's experience was similar.
Well, anytime you're raising money, it is about running a sales funnel, as they call it. You have to have all the right meetings and hope that you find the right people who really understand what you're trying to achieve, and that's part of their mission. They want to come on the mission with you.
Mm-hmm. Anu, let me put the same question to you about the difficulties of actually putting your hand out.
Right. Both Mary Jo and Cindy alluded to, you never stop raising money for your company as CEO. So that's one of the first line items in the job description of a CEO, I believe. So that has to be part of the job at any given time and at every stage of the company's growth. So in that sense, that is one of the most difficult, and it's also one of the most necessary pieces that you need to do. So that said, the challenges are really to, again, it's a sales process, and there is a certain close rate, and you just keep adding more and more to the funnel, and you will close at that rate. So that's pretty much been the mantra that we've gone with, and that's worked out pretty well. So the introductions that came out of Prosper have certainly helped, and I do want to echo what Cindy mentioned about people, two things that Cindy mentioned I can echo. One thing is the cost of doing business in the San Francisco Bay Area as opposed to St. Louis. Clearly, St. Louis is much, much more, much, much more easy on the wallet for a startup company. I can definitely attest to that. Now, the second thing is the introductions and the meetings. Again, my mentors were just so open to providing introductions as and when I asked, and even as and when they came up with companies and people they thought I should meet. And again, I was so surprised, pleasantly surprised to see that people will take a meeting. And it just didn't stop with those meetings. So after that, we have had very good follow-on, and we are in dialogue with several large corporations as a result of these introductions and meetings. So that has been really a crucial part of our business growth, not just from an investment perspective. Investment is great. I mean, we need that to get the company started, to grow the company. But we need ongoing sustainable revenue for the company to scale and be successful. And that's where these introductions and the meetings with the prospective partners, those are incredibly valuable.
You know, I've heard the expression a couple of times here today that I really haven't heard it before, and that is take a meeting. That's a different kind of expression to me, Mary Jo.
Well, yes, but that's exactly right. As Cindy in a news said, you can ask, but if somebody won't meet with you, then you don't get very far.
Before we wrap up, let's just once again reiterate what folks have to do who are listening who might be interested in filling out one of those applications that you have available, and what information you have we'll put on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
So they should go to the website, which is prosperstl.com, and if they go to the accelerator button, then they'll be able to find the application right there, and we look forward to having a lot of great ideas come our way.
All right. Again, we'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us and telling us about something that we perhaps all should give a little more thought to. It ain't easy out there, is it?
No, but that's okay. We kind of carry on.
That's what makes it fun.
That's right.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that it's fun. Thank you so much, Mary Jo Gorman, for being with us. And Cindy Teasdale McGowan, thank you. Good luck with Makeaboo. Hope you do very well. And Anu Nathan, thank you so much for being with us long distance from California. And we'll look forward to meeting you when you move your business here to St. Louis. Oh, maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you also
thank
very
you.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we have a program to promote a more diverse St. Louis innovation community. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Stay with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. In the first segment of today's program, we talked about expanding the number of women entrepreneurs in the St. Louis area. Now we'll focus on promoting greater diversity in bioscience, IT, and advanced manufacturing here. A one-day symposium is being held here Friday at Harris Stowe State University. It is sponsored by an organization called Vision 2015. By the way, one of its community partners is Prosper Women Entrepreneurs, the subject of our first segment. Joining me to talk about Vision 2015 are Cheryl Watkins-Moore, Director of Entrepreneurial and Bioscience Inclusion at BioSTL. BioSTL promotes advancement of biosciences in St. Louis. Mary Louise Helbig is CEO of Healthy Me. That's a healthcare tech and startup, and she's also the entrepreneur in residence with I-10. Do I have that right, Mary Louise?
That okay, is correct.
Great. Also with us still is Mary Jo Gorman of Prosper Women Entrepreneurs. She's staying with us. She was with us, of course, during the first segment. Okay, thank you all so much for being with us. Let me ask about this dearth of domestic, of ethnic diversity, and I'll start with you. Tell me what's going on here in St. Louis.
Well, what's very interesting, and thank you for the invitation to join your show today. I've been with BioSTL for about a couple years now, leading this effort. I was an entrepreneur in residence with the BioGenerator prior to that. And BioSTL has been one of the organizations driving and facilitating the growth of the startup life science presence in the, here in the St. Louis market for about 15 years now. The vision was Dr. Donald Danforth's vision. And out of that, you see the outgrowth of Cortex, you see BioGenerator, you see a lot of the different activity that's going on here that BioSTL, as well as some other partners, civic and philanthropic partners, helped move forward in our ecosystem. So with that, they started back in 2008 convening CEO-level folks in our city, as well as civic-minded folks here, to understand how do we get more women and underrepresented minorities involved in the whole life science sector. When they brought me on board in 2013, which was our pilot year, our focus was how do we at least do three things: increase awareness of the opportunities here in the life science sector, provide training opportunities for those individuals that are interested in transitioning from the role that they're potentially in, maybe a corporate role, into a more of an entrepreneurial role. And then lastly, how do we uncover and highlight the networks and the pathways that are available for entrepreneurs here in the region?
Is there something about this community that would inhibit diversity, if you will, in these areas?
I think it would inhibit it. I think if you're not part of the ecosystem, if you're not part of the startup community, and having played a role in the startup community, I also have a startup company here, a medical device technology development company here in this region. I think for more people who are minorities that, and it's not just minorities, for women, for individuals that are not engaged in the startup community, I think it's the best kept secret in St. Louis. I think we're starting to have that story being told, and not only on the regional scene, but on the national scene, where St. Louis is now being highlighted as one of the top or number one startup city in the nation. So I think for that message to not only get out to the majority population here in the St. Louis market, it's even more evident that it needs to flow through the channels of where women and the minority segment lie. And our target audience are those professionals that are out here in the marketplace that are looking for new opportunities, either entrepreneurial, acquisitional, or maybe on a corporate innovation team. And that's the focus of Vision 2015 primarily, is to show what are those opportunities at the cross-section of science, IT, and advanced manufacturing in those spaces.
And Mary Louise, how do you reach these people?
Well, I think, with my I-10 hat on as an entrepreneur in residence, we're focused on helping tech startup companies. And it largely has been a very male-dominated space. Mm-hmm. So I think, to Cheryl's point, some of it is just making sure people are aware of the resources that are available to them and promoting that through programs in this upcoming symposium and making them feel welcome, because it can be intimidating, mm-hmm. if you're on the outside looking in to take that first step.
Mm-hmm. Is your reach well outside of St. Louis?
Really, I think, mostly for us, for I-10, our reach is in the St. Louis, we call it the St. Louis region.
Sure.
And we are partnering with BioSTL because mm-hmm. I-10 also has an initiative this year on inclusion, because we realize that we need to be, we need to engage more people in throughout our regional community to come see what we're doing and learn about, if they're interested in entrepreneurship in the IT space, that there's a tremendous amount of resources available to them. And a lot of them are free.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, can I chime in? Because last year when we kicked off our inclusion initiative, it was a pilot initiative for BioSCL. And the reason that we're coming forth with a symposium this year is because we had such an outpouring of success for people coming out and attending our events that we held last year. And they were strictly awareness events, having people understand the opportunities in the region in the science space. So from that, this year we did partner with I-10 and another organization called St. Louis Makes, which is in the advanced manufacturing space. And we felt that we can broaden not only the opportunity, but the reach to individuals who are not just sitting in the science space, but in IT and advanced manufacturing, and show them how science crosses these specific industries.
Mary Jo, this is all right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think that we made some really good points here this morning about if you don't know where to start, then sometimes you don't start at all. So by bringing things forward in the community, whether it's different symposia or things like the Startup Accelerator, people have a place to start, and then they can spread their wings kind of through there.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to answer? I thought you were starting to say something.
No, yeah. I was just saying, I think that in our region, that's what's really, I think, very different from other cities, and I think that's why St. Louis was selected as a top-tier city for startups, is several things. I think we have the depth and breadth of resources for young entrepreneurs, and that's what we try to highlight from not only the funding community, but the academic resources, community resources, and facilities resources that support young entrepreneurs. So when you look at this community, I think that's something that's very different from like a Chicago or New York. St. Louis places right at the top. I think also, too, the collaborative spirit and environment that this region has, which there are individuals who come from the East and West Coast, and, you know, St. Louis has been known as the flyover region before.
Yeah.
But now we're highlighting this area as this is no longer the flyover region. There are great opportunities, and people work and organizations work very well and very collaboratively here.
You know, for all the years that I've been in St. Louis, this area has always been pointed to for its potential in this area, particularly with regard to biosciences. Mm-hmm. Mary Louise, I gather that we're pretty much here now.
We are, and we continue to make progress, and we should continue to make progress. The company that I'm involved with, Healthy Me Mobile Solutions, is a mobile health company, and we started here in St. Louis just 2 years ago. And to everyone's point that we've made about the collaboration here is phenomenal. Healthy Me wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't have the resources available to us, whether that's I-10, Prosper Women's Accelerator. We were part of the spring inaugural class, Missouri Technology Corporation, programs that are provided through Center for Emerging Technology. So those resources that we have and the way that those organizations work together is really tremendously significant and huge. Not all cities, as Cheryl said, work that well and play that well together. So now as our company moves forward, we do still need the help of those entrepreneurial resource organizations because we are growing beyond St. Louis, and we have to grow beyond St. Louis. That's our goal, is to be a national, international company someday. But we're going to have to engage other investors, customers, beyond those that are just in our backyard.
Boy, we keep hearing the word investors and money and raising money, money come up. How did your association with Prosper help you in the Startup Accelerator program? You've just gone through that, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We finished. I heard you speaking with Anu, who was a classmate of mine, a wonderful woman and a great business that she's developing. It really helped us refine our business strategy, and that's something for an early stage company that you have to do. And you never everybody talks about writing your business plan and your pitch deck. Well, they're never done. They're evolving all the time because as you're better defining who you are and your target customers are, then as you engage with them, you learn things from them and you have to tweak and refine and tweak and refine. And our experience with Prosper really helped us refine our strategy on the sales and marketing side, but also refine our pitch. I heard you talking about the selling process and raising money is really our pitch to investors. And beginning to establish that network.
What is going to be happening at your symposium?
Well, we are very proud to be able to present what we believe is the first regional symposium of its kind for our ecosystem. And again, it's looking at opportunities at the cross section of science, IT, and advanced manufacturing. And our broadness reflects, we'll be highlighting entrepreneurs, just like Mary Louise and Healthy Me will be there. Actually, Mary Louise will be sitting on one of the panels that we have, panel discussions there, and her company will be in our innovation showcase that evening. But yeah, we'll be highlighting entrepreneurs, folks who are at, or have purchase companies, acquisitions, as well as corporate innovator type of teams. So we have this day. It's a full day program. Begins at 8:30 in the morning, and it will run to 6 p.m. There are three roundtable breakout discussions, and the first roundtable discussion has to will take a deep dive and look at the three industries. We'll have speakers like Dr. Dedrick Carter, who is the new associate provost and associate vice chancellor at Washington University, who will be on leading a session in that round. We also have in that round a corporate innovator segment where Purina, Boeing, and other large organizations will be on a panel talking about those industries. In our second roundtable, which will be in the afternoon, it's more on what are the skills that you need if you're a professional out there and contemplating looking at either starting a business, acquiring a business, or just saying, I want to be on a corporate innovation team. We have breakout round table discussions that will focus on that aspect. And then the last roundtable discussion we're really excited about. We're bringing on individual entrepreneurs as well as other individuals like Susan Oslage from Saberliner to tell their stories about how they, their pathways to building their companies or turning around organizations, which we think is very insightful for many of our meeting attendees. In the evening, we're really excited about the whole networking session. We'll have what's called, we're calling the three-ring circuits within the larger networking event. But in that, in the three smaller events, meeting attendees will have an opportunity to meet with over 40 representatives from some of our community resource partners. So some of the folks that we talked about in the community segment, such as funders, facility partners, community resource partners, and our academic partners will be there. We'll be highlighting young companies in the innovation showcase so they can come out and talk to and engage with young entrepreneurs. And then lastly, we're bringing in from Washington, D.C., the organization called Springboard Enterprises. It's a women's networking collaborative organization. They've been around for about 20-plus years, and they're bringing to St. Louis for the first time what's called the Dolphin Tank, similar to the Shark Tank, but they're bringing it here. And we have eight companies that are lined up to present.
I wanted to get to that because it sounds intriguing as opposed to the Shark Tank. Yeah. What's that all about, Mary Louise?
Well, it's an opportunity for people that have an idea about starting a company, starting a business, to go in front of a panel of very experienced entrepreneurs and get feedback in a positive way, as opposed to, as we say, you know, Shark Tank, where they, you're lucky if you come out alive, right? This is much friendlier and much more helpful and beneficial. It's the positive approach to that. Mm-hmm. And Mary Jo's on the panel, right?
I'll be on the panel.
Mary Jo will be one of the
feedback.
Panel members. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you see your role on the panel? Are you there to intimidate in any sense of this, any sense of the word?
Well, I think intimidation has its place, but I don't think it's right to have it in the Dolphin Tank. One of the most important things an entrepreneur can do is try to get feedback on their idea and figure out where should they refine their idea or expand their idea. As Mary Louise has talked about, knowing where your strategic direction is really important. And a lot of entrepreneurs are afraid to talk to somebody about their idea. And having a setting where they can talk about it and get some people who are knowledgeable to tell them, maybe you ought to think about this, why don't you adjust for that, it should be really helpful and beneficial to them.
We should point out, I'm making certain assumptions here, but we're talking about entrepreneurs, which gives the notion that it's someone who is just starting, but some of the entrepreneurs have been around for a while. I suppose some of them might find it useful to come to an event like this and say, I've been in business now for 3 or 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years, and it hasn't been going the way I expected. What can I do to make it better?
That's a great point. Yeah. You know, there are very, very early stage people who just have an idea or a concept, all the way up to people who already have revenue but still have a long way to grow their businesses. And so so any of those people can benefit from having feedback.
Yeah, I want to thank Cheryl for referring to me as a young entrepreneur. but this is the third startup company that I've been involved in. medicine. And every time I've done it, I look for advice and I look for help. Because it can be in a different industry. It has been. It's always been around technology products or services. But the last startup I was involved in was in education. It was an ed tech company. And that's a very different business model, different sales go-to-market strategy than the company I am in now and the ones I've been in before. So so to your point, you know, we may not all be young people doing it for the first time. But when you're doing something for the first time in a new, different way at a different time, even industries change over time. It's really important to just go find those people, those mentors, and those resources that can help you and give you good guidance.
And economic climates change, and that's that's a big part of it.
And I think also, too, when we put together the networking session, we mimicked somewhat what we did last year, which we got great feedback from. And that is this community connections marketplace where we're bringing together these 40 representative organizations that support young entrepreneurs. Because we had last year, we had representatives from the Archangels, from Billiken Angels, from different funders who normally, if you're not part of this ecosystem, you would never get access to these individuals, or you would never know they even exist. So the feedback that we got last year, and that's why we want to replicate it in our symposium this year, is that it was very helpful for individuals who are just thinking about maybe starting a business maybe 2 years from now, but getting a card from an individual today and starting those conversations as they start to build their organizations was very helpful.
We've talked a lot about the need to raise money, which is obviously a big one. I have a call here from Dan in St. Louis who has a question, I think, related to that. So let's take his call. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I'd be happy to hear your guest discuss investment. What is the expectation of the investor? And what is the expectation of the entrepreneur? Say you have a business, Don, and you need 500, 5,000, half a million, whatever. And I give that to you. Do I now own a percent of your company? Do I own all the company? You know, how do you, what's the formula? How do you determine this?
Okay, well, turn to Mary Jo for that.
Thank you for your question. So an investor is purchasing a portion of the company when he or she makes an investment, and rather it depends if they're making, let's just use a $100,000 investment, the amount of that they purchase for that company, how much ownership they get for that depends on the stage of the company. So you might get a much larger ownership at a very early stage, which reflects the fact that you're also getting a much riskier investment than if you participate at a much later stage. So as they say, everything's negotiable, but there are guidelines depending on the stage of the company and what they have already demonstrated and how much of the company the investor will get for that portion.
Mary Louise, can you give us some sense of what your experience along these lines has been?
Right. I think also what's really important is to understand what industry, know your industry, and you know, because investing in a bioscience company, a pharmaceutical company, or a device company, and what it takes to get one of those companies started as far as funding, and the time it takes, like 10 years as they go through with the FDA and getting the approval process, is very different than for a tech company. So a company that has developed, you know, a service or a product that might be, you know, mobile health or, you know, an app or web services kind of thing. So I think, too, it's really important for both the entrepreneur and the investor to understand their industry and what that roadmap and that investment strategy looks like, because it is different. It's very different. And just so everyone goes in well aware. The other thing I think that is very important, and I've learned in my career, is also making sure that entrepreneurs align with investors that also understand the industry they're investing in. So if it takes 10 years to get a pharmaceutical plus 10 years plus, you know, to get a product to market, but in the tech space, you can get a product to market in 3 months. You want to make sure everybody understands and you can manage expectations effectively.
Are these venture capitalists out there specialized in individual areas pretty much?
Yeah, there are. BioGenerator, which is a subsidiary of BioSTL, invest primarily in life science type focused companies. And there are organizations around the region that do specifically invest in certain markets in the industry. So I think going back to some of the ladies' comments, too, is also if you are a young entrepreneur, you need to understand when you talk to a particular investment organization, is this their focus? Is this what they do? Is this how they support that organization? I also, too, because I'm in the process of starting
make it quick, please.
To raise money. But you need to also look at routes. Can you look at non-dilutive routes first before you go to the investment route or the equity routes to raise money?
It's complicated stuff, but you're going to help people uncomplicate it. Yes. This Friday at your symposium, the Diversity and the Innovation Community, taking place from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Harris Stowe State University. We have information on that on our website. I want to thank you so much, all of you, for being
thank
here.
You.
We've got a rush. Cheryl Watkins Moore, great to meet you.
Thank you.
Mary Louise Helbig, thank you for being with us. And Mary Jo Gorman, thank you for being with us and doing double duty today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for us. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with St. Louis Mayor Frances Slay, and then we'll meet Terry Grieg and hear her story about competing as a marathoner, triathlete, and Ironman while undergoing treatment for stage 4 cancer. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.